love how the Lord orchestrates services together. Pastor Brew talked about loving those who were unlovely, and our theme this year is to love your neighbor. He had no idea that I was not going to preach from our Passion series this morning and go back to our theme of love your neighbor. And I'm going to introduce you to a character this morning that you're well familiar with, and that's the story of Elijah, who the very song, "He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock," happens to Elijah just two chapters after where we're going to be this morning. So I love how the Lord works that together. 1 Kings chapter number 17, if you would please, in your Bible. Our theme, as I said, for the year is love your neighbor. And this morning I want us to look at the story of Elijah and the widow woman and the uniquenesses around that and what God asked both of them to do as strangers to each other. And they met each other for the very first time and had a very unusual encounter, to say the least. It would have been more unusual from the lady's standpoint, for sure. But I think we can see some principles about loving our neighbor from this story. The Bible says in chapter 17 and verse 1, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And what's interesting about, well, there's a number of interesting things. You could probably preach an entire message from this verse alone. But what's one of the interesting things is, this is the first time we know of Elijah. We get very little background information. We just get, boom, and what's he doing? He's looking Ahab in the eyes and saying, "It's not going to rain again until I say so. Bye," and disappears. I mean, like, boom, off the face of the map. How do we know that? Well, because Ahab basically turns over every rock he can. He goes into other nations and makes them give an oath. "I haven't seen the guy, because if I find out you have, I'm going to come after you." That's how hard he's looking for him. God hides him. Just lets Ahab stew for a while. Lord willing, we'll get to that story in our Passion series as well here before long. So this story is set as Elijah boldly confronts Ahab. Ahab was one of the most wicked kings to ever live. This, again, is the first mention of Elijah. One pastor said it this way: the entrance of Elijah in the biblical record is abrupt, bold, and dramatic. Boom, he's there, he is. And he walks off the scene. During this drought, remember that drought was always a sign from God that he was judging Israel. He told them from the beginning, "If I withhold rain from you, that's because there's sin. If there's rain, there's going to be blessing." God made it abundantly clear to them, though they should have searched that out. God would take care of Elijah, however, from sources that were, well, not particularly in high regard for a Jewish man and a male perspective. Neither one of these would have been attractive to him. An unclean bird and a Gentile widow woman. God said, "That's how you're going to be sustained." And we find that part of the story in the first seven verses of the text of Scripture. He goes to the brook and God feeds him there from the raven and all the miraculous things about that. But then the brook dries up. And now what are we going to do? And God says, "Well, I want you to travel a great distance, some 100-mile walk for Elijah. And I've commanded a widow woman there to take care of you." Okay. Zarephath was a town on the Mediterranean coast. It was a part of the kingdom of Zidon. In the New Testament, we spell it S-I-D-O-N. The Old Testament is Z-I-D-O-N. It would have been located a little north of Tyre. And again, it was about a 100-mile walk for Elijah. A 100-mile walk for anybody's a long ways. But remember, there's very little water. The brook's dried up. He's going there with hope from God that some widow woman, which automatically should conjure up problems in his mind, is going to take care of him. The city itself means a refinery. God was refining both Elijah and this woman. And he was going to preserve their story for us in the Word of God. One Bible commentary author said this, Elijah had been and was being prepared by the Lord to demonstrate to all Israel that Yahweh, not Baal, is still the only true God. If you remember, by the time we get to the end of this story, we end up on Mount Carmel. He eventually goes and confronts Ahab and says, let's have a showdown. God is preparing Elijah for that particular thing. The widow is mentioned for us in the Word of God in Luke 4, verse 24 through 26, as an example of believing God's Word. The Bible says, and he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah or Elias, when the heavens were shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Zarephath, the city of Zidon, unto a woman that was a widow. God said, I knew I could trust her. I couldn't trust any other widow woman in the nation of Israel, but I could trust her. We don't know exactly how long Elijah was in each location. We assume that Elijah was probably with the widow woman several years, but we don't know that for sure. We know from the time he left Ahab to the time he gets back to Ahab is 3.5 years. He spent that 3.5 years by the brook or with the widow woman, or how many days it took him to walk 100 miles right in between. That's the time he spent. And so we feel like he was there probably several years. And that's significant because of how the story unfolds for us. So I want us to see six truths from this story about loving your neighbor. And we'll see this central thought. When loving your neighbor, you must listen to the promptings of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And that's exactly what both of these two have to do in order for this story to take place. Let's look then in verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Don't miss things in the Bible. Water was scarce. Incredibly scarce already, okay? Verse 11. And as she was going to fetch it, so she was going to do what he asked her to do, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. So when you bring the water back, could you bring some toast with it too? I'm sure he meant some jelly on it or something. But anyway, verse 12. And he said, as the Lord thy God liveth, she said, I'm sorry, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. This is all I have left. It's just enough for the two of us. That is our very last meal. I'm not giving you that. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, and make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. If we didn't know better, we'd say, what a guy. Are you kidding? You're going to be fed before a lady and a child is? It's all part of what God was doing. Then he says in verse 14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. So in other words, this is, if you will, a faith promise. Give me the cake, and I promise you, you won't run out until the end. I love what this says. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. So let's look at these truths this morning. When you love your neighbor, number one, it can be providential. Matter of fact, I would say that it probably is providential. In other words, it could be that God is setting all this up to send you into the path of that person. When you're picking up sticks in your outside yard and you come across this person, or when you're walking in your neighborhood, or whatever it may be, God may have orchestrated things just so that you would cross paths with that person so that he could accomplish exactly what he wanted to do. You remember the story of Zacchaeus? In Luke chapter 19 and verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. This was not just a chance meeting. Jesus was there, Zacchaeus was there, the tree was there, everything had been set up for this opportunity. So when we love our neighbor, it can be and probably is providential. God's doing something. And so are you going to take advantage of providential appointments? Like, well, how do I know it's providential? What if we did this? What if we just assumed that the appointments we have every day are providential? What if we just assume that God is going to send us people in which He'll cross paths with us for the very purpose of sharing the gospel? Sarah's been stopping at a coffee shop on her way up the mountain, a Starbucks there. And I don't know, a week ago or 2 weeks ago, she sent a message to my wife and I and said, there's a young lady there that's wide open to the gospel. She's a searcher. I guess wide open to the gospel, I would say she's a searcher. That's probably a fair way. But Sarah started a conversation with her. And she said, could I have one of the Dunn books because I think she'll read it. And so yesterday, Sarah texted us. Was it yesterday you gave the book or was it Friday? Friday. Friday she texted and said, by the way, I gave the book to the lady. She was so thankful for that book and promised to read it tonight. Well, here's the neat thing about that. I woke up Friday morning and one of the first things on my mind was that girl. I don't even know why God did that. Well, I do now. I'm like, oh, Sarah asked us to pray about that girl at Starbucks. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen today, but apparently you have her on my heart. And then Sarah texts. I'm like, how neat. Providential appointments? God's orchestrating all that. If we just assume those appointments are providential, you're like, what if they're not? What if they're not? Now what? God wants us to use these opportunities. Number two, it can be to a stranger. In other words, your providential appointment may be somebody you don't know. Do we have anything in the Bible that records these two knew each other before this? We don't. It's pretty unusual, don't you think? A Jewish man to talk to a Gentile woman is very unusual. He walks in the city. The first woman he sees just happens to be the widow woman. I mean, he didn't even know if she's a widow, right? He just sees a woman and says, hey, could you bring me some water? Because I'm really thirsty. Now, she could have said, go get it yourself. Who do you think I am? I mean, right? I mean, there's all kinds of things that could have been said there. She goes to get him the water. He goes, oh, by the way, could you bring me a little cake, something to eat when you come back with you? Nope, can't do that because I'm going to feed my son and I and we're going to die. No, you're not. Not if you do feed me first. Feed me first. God will provide for you for the rest of the time. What? Can you imagine leaving church today, walking into a restaurant and saying to someone, hey, buddy, I want you to pay for my meal. And if you'll do that, your meals for the next year will be paid for. God will make sure of that. They would look at you like, are you out of your mind? Matter of fact, we might look at you like you're out of your mind, right? To a complete stranger. I mean, these were strangers. You're like, well, God had told him. He had. God had said there was a widow woman there, but how did he know she was a widow woman? And how did he know that she was the widow woman? And he apparently had commanded her to do the same, but how did she know it was Elijah? They didn't. But God brought them across the path. We don't know that they knew each other at all. We don't even know how they would recognize each other. Well, she'll have a red flower in her hair. I mean, we don't have any of that, right? And not only that, but Elijah goes home and lives with her for who knows how long. Pretty amazing. The bag of dog food you help unload, or the smile you give to someone sitting on a bench, or the waitress you're kind to, all that can lead to opportunities to just love your neighbor. I shared with some people Wednesday night. I had an opportunity on the plane to Sacramento 2 weeks ago today to witness to a man. Sat down beside him and he looked at me like, oh great. You know how you are on a plane, especially when it's the three seats on each side and you're hoping the seat next to you is empty. Anybody ever else feel that way? You know, you're like, please don't tell me this plane's full, because them seats ain't built for a normal man, right? I mean, it's like, who designed these? I want to say to the airline people, would you go fly back there? But anyway, so I sit down by him. Lisa and I are across the aisle, so we're not even together because we bought the cheap flights that make you feel like a scuzzbag. Oh, you're loading at the back of the plane. Matter of fact, why don't you walk around the plane a couple of times? It's like, okay, what zone am I? You're zone 9. How many zones are there? 9. I'm like, thank you very much. Yeah, hey, Dale. So it's like, okay, thank you very much. But anyway, so we sit down, and he's okay, and then we got to talking. You say, was it a providential meeting? Are you kidding? The guy spent multiple years in the Marine Corps. He served in Japan. I served in Japan. Do we think we had something to talk about? We did. His only problem was he was a Hollywood Marine, but we'll forgive him for that. Great opportunity. Do you know what he said to me? 2.5 hours, by the way. I shared scripture with him. You know what he said? I think God's after me. He said, I actually went to church this morning with my kids. He said, how crazy is that? And now I'm sitting next to a preacher. I'd ask him a number of questions until he asked me the question that I was hoping he'd ask me. So what are you doing flying to California? Ding, 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 ding. I said, well, actually, I'm a pastor and I'm going to preach at a camp. And it was like, oh, because up to that point, he had not been using the best language in the world. And which is kind of interesting how they get, you know, all of a sudden somber about that. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Well, I actually went to church this morning. They turned the conversation, you know. Providential meeting. Of all the people on a plane going to Sacramento, California, out of Charlotte, I sit next to a guy that's a former Marine that God's after. Now, providential. It can be to a stranger. So do you see the neighbors around you as people to love like Christ loved? That's what God wants for us. The third thing, it can happen in trying times. In other words, it is through difficulty sometimes that God exposes us to people who need help. You couldn't get much more trying than this. I mean, not only for Elijah, as far as we know, he was pretty thirsty and probably hungry. The brook dried up. The raven stopped coming. He's got to go 100 miles. For some of you to drive 100 miles without food would be a miracle, let alone to walk 100 miles without food, right? I mean, this was a big deal. And we know she's destitute. We don't have to ask that question, right? She's got enough flour and water to make her son and her a cake, and it couldn't have been a real big cake because she's only taking 2 sticks. I mean, unless they were really big sticks. There was not a lot to eat here. And then she's going to die. This is it. We don't have any other options. Faith will give God's will priority over the difficulty of our situation. Did you catch that? That's a great quote. Faith will give God's will priority over the difficulty of our situation. Hey, maybe God has had you in that place because there's somebody there who needs you there. And he's orchestrating all this together. From the woman's perspective, this could not have happened at a worse time. She's preparing to cook her last meal. She doesn't need someone asking her for a handout. People have the most bizarre times to ask for handouts. Now, as a pastor, that's one of the things I get to do all the time is deal with people who ask for handouts. It's funny because the stories are just like, wow, if that's true, man, you have some horrible luck. You know, I know we don't believe in luck, but you know. I love it when I had a guy recently come into my office and he didn't know it, but I remembered him from 1.5 years and his story's the same. Exactly the same. I mean, when his Social Security check's coming, who's sitting out in the car, the little room he has to rent for $20. I mean, it was exactly the same, right? But probably the most bizarre I ever had was I was driving back from Dallas, Texas. And for some reason, we still can't figure out why, but I had all the children with me. The church was over there at a conference, and I had all the children. I had a van load of children, okay? Yeah, my wife's already laughing, okay? Not only was there a van load of children, but multiple of those children were in diapers. That's a real problem, okay? You're like, you're going to think I'm a horrible dad. I'm just telling you, I didn't do well with diapers. I just didn't do well, okay? You're like, are you sure? Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Okay. Matter of fact, I just didn't do very many of them because I did not do well with them. Now, you can criticize that all you want to, but you have a weakness too. This was mine. Diapers were, but let alone somebody else's kid. Now, come on. That's just, no, that ain't happening, right? So I'm changing a diaper in a rest stop of a kid, and I've got multiple kids around me. I don't even know how many kids, all right? Between the two staff families alone, there were probably 6 or 7 kids at that point, all under the age of 5. That alone's enough to be enough, right? But there were other kids too. And this person walks up to me and says, I need some help. I need some gas money. And I'm thinking, I had wet wipes in my hand, and I'm looking at this person, and I said, I'm busy now, you know. They just chewed me out. What good's the church if you're not going to help people with gas money? And I'm thinking, well, number one, right now, I'm not sure what good I am at all, you know. I'm just surviving this situation, you know. It's amazing how sometimes it's in difficult times that God asks us to come across people. Does your difficulty blind you to the needs of those around you? Do they blind you to the needs of those around you? You know what Brother Randy Merrill told me while he was here? We were talking about Trish and her battle with sickness and all that kind of stuff. And just in the course of conversation, he wasn't bragging. He just said, you know what was neat about this whole time? The number of people we got to witness to. And then he made this comment. He said, the nurses and hospital staff called us the happy room. And he said, we had people get off work of their shift and come sit in our room for several hours. They just said, because this is the happy room. We just like to be here. What a difference God makes. It can happen during trying times. Number four, it should be based on God's word. In other words, our encounter with our neighbor, when we have that opportunity to love our neighbor, it should be based on God's word. And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah saying, go and do such and such. Verse 13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast makest me. Why? Because this is what God said. And you say, well, what does this have to do with this? Well, here's the deal. The truth is, sometimes, we shouldn't help people because they're just flat out lazy. And the Bible says, he that doesn't work shouldn't eat. So it ought to be based on God's word. You're like, wait a minute. The Bible says, he that giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord. That's true. That's balanced with he that doesn't work doesn't eat. Do you know how many people I've called or they've called me and talked? And they're like, hey, can the church help us do da-da-da-da or whatever? And I've said to them, well, can you do something? Can you pull some weeds? Can you? Oh, no, my back's hurt. I can't pull any weeds. It's like, I've actually had people call, and I say to the lady, do you have a husband? Yes. Where's he? He's laying on the couch. I've actually had this conversation. Okay, so could you tell him to come talk to me at church? Oh, that's a couple miles walk. I don't know if he can do that or not. Okay, let me ask you a question. The men in this room, if your family was genuinely hungry and someone asked you to walk a couple of miles to feed them, would you do it? Absolutely. So the truth is, sometimes this is balanced by this. It needs to be based on God's word. Do we help people? Sure, we are to help people. God brings some people sometimes across our path. God had commanded him to go to her, and he had commanded her to feed him. And it didn't make any sense, but that's exactly what they did. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need God's word in every circumstance. If God has brought a providential somebody across your path, do you think if you said to him, God, is this a providential meeting? Do you want me to do something about this that he can help you? I think he can. I think he can say, absolutely, I want you to do something about this. By the way, do you think it's possible that the devil is prompting you to give a gospel tract to someone? I don't think that's possible, okay? I don't think he wants somebody to get the gospel out. So we got to be careful how we respond with that. So are your decisions based on God's word, or are you leaning into your own understanding as we work through this process of loving your neighbor? Number five, it is an act of faith. It's an act of faith. The truth is, if you invest in people, if you love your neighbor, I promise you, you're going to get hurt. I promise you, you're going to be taken advantage of. I promise you, some people out there are looking to take advantage of you. That's going to happen. But it's an act of faith. Look at verses 13 through 15. And what does Elijah say to her? Fear not, go and do as thou hast said. Why? For thus saith the Lord God, the barrel of meal shall not fail. The cruse of oil is not going to go. It's going to stay. God said so. F.B. Meyer said, God's servants must learn to take one step at a time. God does not give all the directions at once, lest we get confused. He tells us just as much as we can remember and do. which for some of us is one item, right? I want you to do this. Do the next right thing. Then I'll tell you the next right thing, and then I'll tell you the next right thing. I have a GPS on my phone when it wants to work. It's worked pretty good until recently. I don't want the GPS to tell me the next six turns. I want it to tell me the next turn, and I would prefer that before the road is right there. You know, like turn now. I would prefer to have a little bit of a warning. Mine has worked fairly well. It'll say, coming up, there are seven lanes, and you need to be in the two left-hand lanes, or you need to be in this. That's really helpful when you're in a massive city and roads are moving all over the place and you got toll roads and all that. That's helpful. But I don't want him. I changed my GPS. I don't want him telling me six times down the road. What's coming up next? Tell me what's going to happen. You know, the Bible says repeatedly in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10 and verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. Just as natural as it is for you to breathe air as a human, you should live by faith as one justified. It ought to be just that natural. You probably haven't thought about breathing today. I doubt you woke up this morning and said, okay, breathe, breathe, breathe. Most of you didn't do that. Now, if you have asthma or something, you might have thought about it, but most of you didn't do that. You're just doing it naturally. The Bible says it is natural for you to live by faith. It ought to just be that way, just as natural as breathing. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. So, question for you. Would you have fed Elijah your last food? You really think, I mean, that's a tough question, isn't it? I mean, if you really thought, okay, who is this guy? Matter of fact, most of us would have probably thought, is he really the man that God told me was coming? He's too young. I don't know if he's, what if he takes it and he's not the right one? What if, you know, the truth is we can do a lot of what if and. When God tells us to do something, we should just do it. Would you step out on faith if it potentially would hurt your children? That's a tough one, isn't it? But you understand that's what she was doing. She was going to feed her son and her that last cake, but instead she's giving it to him, a stranger, on the basis that he said her meal won't run out and the cruse of oil won't fail. But she did it. But number six, loving your neighbor can keep on providing for you. Because that's exactly what happened, isn't it? It does, exactly. The barrel of meal wasted not. Neither did the oil of faith fail. In essence, this was an ongoing lesson in faith, wasn't it? I mean, do you think that God delivered multiple barrels of meal and oil to her house? I don't think so. It just says it didn't fail. So every morning you get up, you fix the quote-unquote last bit of flour and the last bit of oil, and that's your quote-unquote last meal unless God does something, and then you go at lunch and guess what? It's there. And you go to supper and it's there. And you go to breakfast the next morning and it's there. And you go to lunch the next day and it's there. Like, I think I'd be getting tired of eating little cakes. Not if that's what God was providing for you. Because the option was nothing. All of a sudden, nothing sounds really bad when you got a cake in front of you. When I was a boy, we used to cook a cake called a hoe cake. It's really a poor man's cake. It's flour and water. That's it. And they used to mix it on a hoe. They would cook it over an open fire on a hoe. And it would cook real there. It's fantastic food. It'll kill you, but it's fantastic. All right, the best way to cook it is with butter and then fold it up and put jelly in it. Oh, it's great stuff. All right, but it's just basically this. That's all it is. It's oil and flour, a little bit of water. But you know, I like to eat it every once in a while. But I can't imagine eating it breakfast, lunch, and supper. And then breakfast, lunch, and supper. And then breakfast, lunch, and supper. Unless the alternative was nothing. Then something tastes awful good. By the way, this woman's listed in the Hall of Faith. We believe Hebrews 11:35, women receive their dead raised to life again. That's later in this story. She's one of those ladies. Elijah proved God was real. He proved to this lady and he proved to himself that God could sustain him. So now it's time for a bigger lesson. God's going to tell him, go confront Ahab. Go tell him it's time for a showdown. I'm going to prove to all of Israel that I am God. I'm going to take this little lesson that I've taught you, Elijah, and I'm going to make it a big lesson for the entire nation. And God does it. Amazing. How has your faith and your love of your neighbor impacted others? Have you moved back from those possibilities, those providential meetings, those times when God has said, by faith, I want you to step out and do this? How careful do you listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit? Do you really listen to what He has to say about individuals needing something? How faithful are you to do what God prompts you to do? That's a big one, isn't it? When God says, hey, what about that person there? But Lord, I've got, my ice cream might melt. I got waffles and they're going to go bad. And when we say it like that, it really does sound ridiculous, doesn't it? God's just prompted us to possibly give the gospel to someone and we're worried about ice cream. Be careful that we don't, I'm not just preaching to you. I do the same thing. Come up with these excuses why it can't be. There's been a number of times when God said, that person needs a track. And I'm like, well, Lord, I mean, there are tons of people in this parking lot. How do I know which ones to give it to? It's like the Holy Spirit says, hello, I just told you which one to give it to. You don't have to wonder about all the other people. Go give it to the one I just told you to. Now, He's very kind about it, but it's very clear, right? Like, it's just making excuses. That's what it is. We don't obey what He asks us to do. How well do you love your neighbor? Not just the one next door to you, but the one you meet in everyday conversation. The one that may need a simple smile from someone. Do you know, I think I've shared this with you before, but I'll emphasize it again. Do you know waitresses absolutely despise Sunday? They say it's the worst day of the year. They get the least amount of tips and people are the rudest. What a shame. What a shame. Don't leave a sorry tip and then leave a gospel track. And if you do, don't leave one from Emmanuel. Like, well, they gave me sorry service. Grace. Grace is what needs to happen. Love your neighbor. I want to challenge you with this. This story is a great story. But it was two people that didn't know each other. Providential meeting. And they had opportunity to meet each other's needs. And what an incredible thing it was. And God mentions her in the New Testament, in the Gospels, in the book of Hebrews. It's preserved for us to talk about. It's important to Him. Father, thank You for Your word. Oh, how we need it. Lord, the truth is, I just need these reminders about things that I come across or promptings that You give me or whatever. It's just every day we struggle. This old flesh fights. And help us to remember these truths that will allow us to impact others as You give us opportunities. Thank You for this story. Thank You that Elijah stepped out by faith. This widow woman stepped out by faith and the amazing things You did in their hearts and lives. Help our people here, Lord, this morning to step out by faith. Love their neighbor as You've taught us this morning. We love You. In Your name we pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Can I just ask you, has God spoken to your heart? Is there an area where the Holy Spirit said, hey, right there, that you need that. You've tried to make an excuse here, an excuse there, or whatever. Would you let God speak to you? You'd say, Pastor, there are some truths this morning that I just needed to be reminded of. And the Holy Spirit has driven home at least a truth for me this morning that I needed to be reminded of or needed to be convicted of, whatever it may be. Would you pray for me? I'd love to do that. Would you slip up your hand? God's reminded me of some things this morning. Good. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. May we be obedient to the Spirit of God. as he prompts our hearts and lives. Can we stand together quietly, heads bowed and eyes closed? Father, thank you for these hands. We pray that your spirit would move now. In your name we pray. Amen. They're going to begin to quietly pray. Would you come if God spoke into your heart this morning and say, I needed this. I need to be reminded of this truth. I want to love my neighbor this way or whatever it may be. Would you respond this morning? There's providential appointments that are happening all around us. If we'll look at them that way. Can you trust God through it all? Let them play one more time through as you're dealing with God.